to Roanoke, Virginia. She was also a very good friend and in their home many times when he was pastor in Kansas City. We're happy to have Dot Nelson lead us in our invocation.
Almighty and eternal God, our Heavenly Father, thou hast given us thy blessings through these years, blessings of friendship, of kindness, of warmth, of wisdom. And we pray thee that as friends gathered here to honor one who has meant so much to so many, that thou wilt give us the sweetness of thy blessing, that we may love one another in purity and truth, that we may clasp one another in the bonds of Jesus Christ, that as we look back, we shall look also forward to find what God has for us to do and be about the doing of it. We thank thee for this gracious meal, but more than all of this, we thank thee for the one whom we honor, whom we cannot honor enough, for her life and her influence. We are grateful. Bless each one who participates. Bless, we pray thee, this close family of blood and the larger family made family by the blood of Jesus Christ and all of us as we pay tribute to a lovely lady whose life has been a benediction to us all. Through her Savior and ours, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now as you continue to eat, and I hope you will, and continue to go to the buffet table, because this was not bother me at all in what I'm going to do, and I hope it won't bother you, I want to introduce the people who are here tonight. And behind the scenes, a few people are telling me every once in a while what I can do and what I cannot do. That doesn't usually work out very well. But tonight we have to kind of keep a time schedule, and they've given me a certain amount of time to introduce you by groups. I will make one exception. I made this decision on my own. I want, first of all, to introduce our most distinguished guest tonight, who has come to this dinner of appreciation for a very specific reason, which you will recognize when I ask for Mrs. Ma Hunt to come to this platform and stand right here in front of me, accompanied by Dickie Rowe, and we've all grown up with him, this nephew. And on the other side, Ma, stand up there. On the other side, Mary Anna, the one that we've also grown up with, and her husband. Over on the other side, Mary Anna, and Alan Griggs. We don't want you to cover up Ma or Dickie. Now here's the family, without the grandchildren. We're not going to talk about them at all tonight, but Ma, we're so glad you came. She's mad at me. She's been to the airport 2 days, and I told her it'd be an easy trip, and she said she could just kill me. But Ma, we're glad you're here. Dickie, we're glad you're here. Sorry, Nene, his wife, couldn't come. We're glad you're here, Mary Anna and Alan, but we're glad those kids didn't get here, because we wouldn't have much of a dinner. Now you keep on eating. I'm going to ask the members of the present WMU Executive Board to stand. And those from the cooperating states who have been meeting with us all week, the presidents and the executive secretaries and the age level directors, all of the state age level directors, assistant secretaries, presidents, standing with our executive board. Friends, these are your hostesses who are standing at the present time. They voted to pay for this dinner and everything else that goes with it. Now we have a group here that it simply breaks my heart to ask to stand as a group and not call them by name. I've been around kissing so many of them, I imagine my face is covered in lipstick. But I want the former members of Woman's Missionary Union Executive Board, however far back you go, stand up. Please stand and remain standing. Isn't this wonderful? It's marvelous to have you here. Only God in eternity will reveal what these women who have served on this board have done. And now we have another marvelous group that we want to stand, the employees of Woman's Missionary Union, without which we couldn't do anything. All the employees of Woman's Missionary Union at the present time, will you stand? But we wouldn't even have you were it not for the former employees of Woman's Missionary Union who built the foundation on which you now work. So will the former employees of Woman's Missionary Union stand? The president of the Southern Baptist Convention, Owen Cooper and Mrs. Cooper, will you stand? The president of the Baptist World Alliance, V. Kearney Hargroves and Mrs. Hargroves, will you stand? Now we're going to have to do something else we don't like to do. We're going to recognize the representatives of the agencies and boards of this convention, calling only the executive leader of each board. The executive secretary of the executive committee of the Southern Baptist Convention, Dr. Porter Ruth, will you stand? And will you have wives stand with you and those who work with you? Now don't sit down too fast when I do this. We want to see how pretty you look. Thank you, Albert. The Sunday School Board, Dr. James L. Sullivan, executive secretary. Jimmy Sullivan, will you stand? And you will remain standing while all of your cohorts stand with you. And let us look around. And your wives, please stand with you when you happen to be lucky enough to have one. All right. Then I want the president of the annuity board, Darrell Morgan, to stand. And any representatives with you. All by yourself. You can handle the annuity board by yourself. The Baptist Foundation, Kendall Berry, executive secretary. The Brotherhood Commission, Glendon McCullough, executive director. Thank you. The Education Commission, Ben Fisher. Radio and Television Commission, Paul Stevens, president. Baptist Joint Committee, James E. Wood, Jr., Executive Director. Stewardship Commission, Michael Spear, Director of the Cooperative Program Promotion. Foreign Mission Board, Baker James Cawthon, Executive Secretary. Dr. Cawthon, you think they all stood? If they didn't, they know how to spell resign, don't they? The Home Mission Board, Arthur Rutledge, Executive Secretary. Now we have some state leaders here. Alabama, George Bagley, Executive Secretary, and those who work with him. And from Florida, J. Woodrow Filler, Head of the Missions Division in the State Office. Thank you. Now we have other visitors who didn't fall into any of these categories, but we're happy you're here. We've seen you. We've watched you as you've come in. Would you stand? I can't do it. I can't name them. Ms. Hunt has just reminded me that we have some former WMU executive secretaries here who were not members of the executive board and perhaps didn't stand. Would you stand? I'm almost tempted to call out names, but I can't let myself do it. Is there anyone else who has not stood? You just don't know how happy we are to have you here. We're so happy we can't even eat. We're just looking at you. And please don't rush away. We've got a lot to say, and we're going to say it in a little time, and then at the end we want to speak to every one of you. So go ahead and finish that food. I see you haven't done it yet.
Thank you.
Gratitude to this marvelous choir and to the director, Dr. Gene Black. Thank you so much for singing this beautiful music for us tonight. All right, sing that little number. Wasn't that lovely? Sweet and lovely. We're so grateful to Samford University for giving us the privilege of having this dinner in this beautiful place. President Leslie Wright intended to be here tonight, but Mrs. Wright is ill, and they could not come. We do recognize Dr. Lindy Martin, Dean of Student Services, who is here representing the university. Dr. Martin, would you stand? He was here a few moments ago, and we wanted to ask him to convey to the president our gratitude for this opportunity. Perhaps he thought my earlier thank you was enough. Now I want to introduce one who needs no introducing, an introduction to a WMU crowd anywhere, or to a Southern Baptist crowd anywhere, or any other Baptist crowd anyplace, and that's Dr. Claude H. Ray, Jr. Dr. Ray has known Alma Hunt since he was a lowly freshman at William Jewell College when she was the August Dean of Women. I can just kind of imagine what she used to do to Claude. I notice that she still bosses him around a little bit when he's directing the music for us backstage. Dr. Claude Ray, we'd like for you to introduce those who provide the music for us and your pianist.
Thank you, Mrs. Mathis. You'll never know how lowly I was when I first met Alma Hunt. Walter Pope Benz was having the freshman orientation at his home, the freshman reception. I sat down on a Benz antique. You can imagine the rest. It gave up the ghost. It went in about 12 different sections at once. And the first thing I saw about Alma Hunt were the points of her shoes. You know, in 1947, shoes were pointed. And I started there, and I've appreciated her ever since. Grateful tonight for our School of Music of a cappella choir who have come back from vacation early to sing for Miss Hunt in this meeting. Tonight for the dinner music provided by Mr. Edward Smith Lyon, who is assistant professor in our School of Music, who conducts the Birmingham Youth Symphony as a violinist, a fine choral man, a vocalist. The accompanist for the evening, Mrs. Jean Black, who keeps the conductor of the a cappella choir going. Thank you so much for your contribution to our service this evening.
Alma, I don't imagine you ever thought that lowly student would become the dean of the School of Music at Samford University in Birmingham, Alabama, did you? And be helping in the presiding and looking after an appreciation banquet for you. You never thought that would happen. I hope you've noticed this large to appreciate, because that's what we're here tonight for, is to appreciate and to show our appreciation for Alma Hunt. Now, I looked up the meaning of that word, and it meant too many things that I could agree with most of them, but not all of them. And so we picked out a few of the words that we found in the definition of appreciate or appreciation. And tonight, some of Alma's closest friends and co-workers throughout the Baptist world and the Southern Baptist Convention, Women's Missionary Union, are going to try to express appreciation for the rest of us. We're not sure how well they're going to do it, but we're going to give them a chance. First of all, the word appreciate means to evaluate the worth, quality, or significance of. And the president of the Baptist World Alliance, V. Carney Hargroves, is going to speak first of all for us on this subject.
Marie Narcisse and I thank you for giving us the opportunity of being here tonight and expressing our personal appreciation for Alma Hunt. We come as people who are very partial. When I say that, I'm reminded of the occasion when a lady attended a wedding at a church. She stood at the head of the aisle waiting for the usher to seat her, and he came up and he said, "Are you a friend of the bride or of the groom?" Well, she said, "I'm a friend of both of them." He said, "Madam, at this wedding, there is no room for neutrals." So we come tonight as people very partial to the one whom we all delight to honor. Just a week ago today, we had a meeting in Washington of the staff of the Baptist World Alliance. In the course of a day-long meeting, as we sat around the table, I said to the group present, "I expect to be in Birmingham next week, and I shall be there to attend a dinner in honor of Alma Hunt. Is there any special word of greeting you would like for me to take for you?" And so then we discussed Alma Hunt for perhaps the better part of 10 minutes. And later on, going home on the train, I wrote down three words that seemed to emerge from our conversations about the table. At that time, we did not have before us the three words in the program of worth, quality, and significance, but I think you'll be interested in the three that did come to our attention. And the first one was integrity. And I thought afterwards, integrity comes from the word integer, which means whole. It's not fractional. It is complete. And I remembered that Jesus' main aim in life seems to have been to make men whole. And I thought about it. Alma Hunt is a person of integrity. And we think in terms of her wholeness because of her relationship to Jesus Christ. The second word that emerged was competence. And other phases of it, were brilliance, ability. And so we went on, and any number of things were said that come under the head of competence. And then one of those present put it this way: she has gained women's rights by merit. And then someone said, wherever she has an opportunity, she contributes constructively, whether it be in a board, on a committee, or in a meeting, or wherever she has the opportunity to take part, she contributes constructively. And the third word that came up again and again was courage, her forthrightness, her confidence, her ability to say things that are true and to tell things as they are. When we came to the end of our brief discussion, we all felt that I should say these words of great appreciation for Alma Hunt. And as one former Virginian to another former Virginian, I say to you tonight, Alma, on behalf of all the Baptists of the world, insofar as I can represent them through the Baptist World Alliance, we bring you our greetings, our appreciation, and our love.
I've taken the liberty of adding another speaker to the list. I want our president of the Southern Baptist Convention, Owen Cooper, to come and say whatever he has in his heart to say. Not too long, Owen, but just a little bit.
Marie knows I have a big heart. So I'll not empty it tonight, but I want to share one or two things that's in it. I have retired, as you know, and have nothing better to do than to travel a lot. And I have been in 48 of the 50 states and 5 continents in the past 18 months. And I have never escaped the influence of Alma Hunt. Wherever we've been, Ms. Cooper's been with me, Beth, most of the time, we've been seeking out mission spots. And we know that half of our mission program is carried on as a result of the effective leadership that has been provided through the years, through Women's Missionary Union, in stimulating Baptists to give generously to the support of missions. I heard somebody say the other day, $42 million foreign mission budget. I said, I hope to live to see the day it's $100 million foreign mission budget. We haven't arrived. We are making progress, and much of that progress is attributed to the leadership that Alma Hunt has provided through the years. Where we've gone, we've sought to see missionaries. And how many of these missionaries can trace their first motivation, their first beginning of a call, back to the time when, under the influence of some woman's missionary unit in a church, the call of missions and the challenge of missions has been presented. Alma, you'll soon be retiring also. They will not be inactive days. They will be interesting days. But regardless of what may come in the future, you can retire with the knowledge and assurance that as I undertake to speak for 12 and a quarter million Southern Baptists, It is with a heart of gratitude on their part and appreciation for the leadership you provided through the years in accelerating us to a place of eminence in mission endeavor, and yet challenging us to know that the best is yet to be. Thank you.
To appreciate is to cherish. And I don't suppose there's any group in all the world that would claim the right to speak on this word than the employees of Women's Missionary Union. And so we're asking three of our leaders at the headquarters, June Whitlow, Lavinia Neal, and Ms. Lee N. Allen, to express this appreciation to cherish Alma Hunt.
Often the things that we hold most dear are the incidental trivialities of life that drop in unexpectedly and enrich our routines. The employees of WMU, almost 100 of us, cherish a wealthy storehouse of the unique words and ways of Alma Hunt, our executive secretary.
She discharges the weighty matters of administration with a personal flair that flavors our daily tasks so pleasantly.
Now, if you have not worked at 600 North 20th Street, you may have missed knowing the Alma Hunt who
dashes to the airport with three suitcases, six cardboard boxes, and a half dozen paper sacks.
Gets her work organized by stacking tons of paper on folding tables or on her office floor.
But who whisks them out of the way for company or stuffs them in bags to carry to the airport with her.
Composes enchanting Friday newsletters almost any day of the week.
Can't bear to see gum chewed in the office.
Comes to work at 4 a.m., stays until midnight, and comes back again on Saturday.
Cleans out the building's refrigerator on Saturday.
Decides an hour before plane time to hem a dress.
Loves covered dish luncheons and eats more than everybody else.
Walks fast.
Talks faster.
Recalls ancient facts, figures, and precedents to test the validity of bright ideas of newcomers.
Proudly shows off the WMU building and spins tales about every object of beauty and sentiment in it.
Polishes her fingernails as a daily ritual and dries them while talking on the telephone.
Yes, this is the busy, human, personal, winsome Alma Hunt we have seen between the pages of WMU history that she has written.
But we also hold dear those sweeping, life-changing encounters in life, and Alma Hunt has brought us many such high moments as individuals and as co-laborers.
These things we cherish most deeply, with the endorsement of our fellow workers in the business division, education division, and administrative division, we have attempted to capsule in permanent written form an expression of our appreciation for Alma Hunt as our leader in business and in spirit. We shall read from this bound citation of appreciation.
We appreciate Alma Hunt. In her, the Spirit of God has blossomed into fruits with which she has nourished us in our work for Women's Missionary Union. She has lived and led as a model of
patience in cultivating the talents of employees for the cause of missions,
faithfulness in devotion to God, fidelity to duty, and allegiance to Baptist ideals,
kindness in daily direction and in times of special need,
joy in a significant task to share with us,
peace while shaping us into harmonious laborers together with God,
love that has radiated to us and opened our hearts to the whole world.
For these qualities and for all the ties that bind us together, we cherish her and we thank God.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control.
I'm sure that the other employees of Women's Missionary Union would like to stand with us as we present this bound citation to Ms. Hunt.
Now later, when you're given the opportunity to come up here and see some things, this will be one of the things you'll see, is this beautiful citation, which has been hand-lettered and which I'm sure Alma will keep for the rest of her life. Now, when we started talking about this, quote, year of retirement, end quote, of Alma Hunt, and realized that we could not afford to leave out a single state in expressing our appreciation, her remark to me was, when I told her this was what I was going to do, everyone will get so sick of hearing the name Alma Hunt before the year is over, I won't be able to live through it. Well, we are going to give every state that is part of our Woman's Missionary Union life an opportunity to express gratitude to Alma Hunt and for her. But we couldn't have all of them tonight. So we're going to have some tonight, some at the annual meeting in Dallas on June 10, and others at Glorietta and Ridgecrest. And by the end of that time, we will have heard from every state. But tonight, there are four: Arkansas, Hawaii, Mississippi, and Missouri. Arkansas, represented by Miss Nancy Cooper, the Executive Secretary. Hawaii, by Mrs. Nobio Nishikawa, the Executive Secretary. Mississippi, Mrs. Vernon May, the President. And Missouri, Mrs. Hughes Scherf, the President, who will speak on the word to treasure.
In Macbeth, Shakespeare lists a dozen king-becoming graces: verity, justice, temperance, stableness, bounty, perseverance, mercy, lowliness, devotion, patience, courage, fortitude. To us, these are also queen-becoming graces, for our honoree possesses every one and even more. Now, we can't take them one by one, but we do want to take a few of those and say a special thank you to Alma Hunt. Thank you, Alma Hunt, for your courage in preserving the purpose of Woman's Missionary Union, our magnificent obsession. This hadn't always been easy. We know you've been laden down with your papers. We know the load has been heavy, but we love you for preserving the purpose. We love you for also challenging young people. Thank you for your patience in bridging the generation gap. You have confronted young people through the years with the challenges of dedicated Christian service. They see in you a rare quality of genuineness for which we also love you. Thank you, Alma Hunt, for your devotion, which has welded your co-workers together in a family. As long as there are Fridays and loyal Thyras and postmen to deliver letters, you will be sharing faithfully those tidbits of concern and joy that keep us one. Thank you, Alma Hunt, for your fortitude in taking that giant step in 1934 that took you west of the Mississippi into the wonder state of Arkansas. It was then and there that you started your career as ambassador of goodwill to the peoples of the world. Thank you, Alma Hunt, for your perseverance. 25 years executive secretary of Woman's Missionary Union, SBC, and now retirement. We scarce can believe it. Certainly not even Shakespeare could list all your graces, and we can no more recount them in 3 minutes than we can express our love in words. But there was one who said, to love one that is great is almost to be great oneself. So we acknowledge our places in that host of almost greats as we take our places among those who love you, Alma Hunt, one of God's greatest We of the Arkansas WMU staff cherish your love and friendship.
For Alma, admired by all, a woman of action standing tall. L is for loveliness without and within, a leader and laborer geared to win. And parenthetically, I wanted to say something about the Friday letters on L, but I couldn't say it in one sentence. M stands for missionary fervor, a magnificent and magnetic worker. A is for administrative ability and for achievements as executive secretary. H is for happy nature and good humor, and for Hawaii Baptist women who love her. U stands for undaunted courage, understanding of persons regardless of age. N is for nobility of spirit and soul, setting for us and herself the highest goal. T stands for many talents and for teamwork, tasks she fulfills and never does shirk. Miss Alma Hunt, thank you for what you have meant to each of us and for the cause of Christian missions. We love you and will treasure you always.
Ms. Hunt, this is a cooperative effort from the girls on our staff, so I'm delivering it, but it's from everybody. The word appreciation means different things to different people, but when we of Mississippi think of our appreciation of you, Ms. Hunt, we think of you as a Ruth, Dorcas, Lydia, and Esther all rolled into one. You remind us of Ruth, because Ruth was modest, courteous, loyal, responsible, and gentle, yet decisive. Of Dorcas, because she was benevolent, compassionate, devout, and gave generously of herself to others. Of Lydia, because she was a woman of determination, of foresight, business ability, and personal charm that drew people to her. Of Esther, because of her queenly qualities of grace and dignity, sound judgment, fine self-control, and the ability to think of others first. We are grateful to you for possessing all of these qualities, which you have demonstrated in the places of service to which the Lord has led you, particularly as Women's Missionary Union's convention-wide executive secretary. Your life is a testimony of what Christ means to you, what the church means to you, what the Bible means to you, and what missions means to you. You have touched many lives here in Birmingham, the United States, and around the world. These are touches which have strengthened, not weakened, lifted up, never pushed down, and have generated contagious enthusiasm for more dedicated service to our Lord. You look on life as a work hour, not a shirk hour, and live your life in deeds, not words, in love, not hate. Your self-sacrificing hours are appreciated by all of us. Your ability to recall details is a marvelous gift, as is your ability to verbalize an idea clearly, concisely, and forcefully. Your regular letters exhibit a thoughtfulness on your part that is unexcelled. We appreciate the information, the news concerning our denominational friends, but most of all, we are thrilled at your deep concern for not only people you know, but for their entire families whom you likely have never met. In conclusion, let us express to you our sincere appreciation for your outstanding leadership, not only here, but around the world,
not only just in Women's Missionary Union, but the Southern Baptist Convention, and we feel that one of the outstanding accomplishments of your administration has been in leading the denomination to give WMU a place in the church program organizations. Needless to say, we love and admire you very, very much, and feel that the words in the 45th Psalm can be appropriately applied to you. The King's daughter is all glorious within.
Congratulations, Ms. Hunt, for more than 25 years of faithful service as Executive Secretary of Women's Missionary Union Southern Baptist Convention. Your abiding faith and deep commitment to Jesus Christ has had a tremendous influence upon our denomination and on Women's Missionary Union. Our love and appreciation for you dates back even before you became WMU Executive Secretary. In 1944, you came to Missouri to become Dean of Women in William Jewell Baptist College at Liberty. Because of your outstanding services, you were honored by the college with a Doctor of Humanities degree. Missouri Baptists were very proud when you were chosen to be top WMU lady of the Southern Baptist Convention. Many changes have taken place in Women's Missionary Union since that time. Your wise leadership has demonstrated strength in all your decisions, which has caused the concern for missions to grow and the mission program to advance. Lives of women and young people throughout our land have been touched by your concern for missions. The cause of Christ has been advanced through the many articles that you have written for our mission magazines. You're always in demand as a speaker at our annual WMU meetings. Each message has been personal and has revealed your deep commitment to Christ. You have challenged women and young people to become actively involved in missions. Your wise leadership and Christ-like example have been inspiration and a challenge to each one of us. Only heaven will reveal the remarkable way that you have promoted missions through writing, speaking, and administration. We appreciate you taking time from your busy schedule to write the numerous letters which have kept us informed about Women's Missionary Union. Your personal interest in each co-worker with prayer requests in times of need has been a demonstration of your love and concern that has bound us together as a WMU family. We also appreciate your flexibility, which has caused you to welcome the participation of lay leaders in planning and the promotion of WMU work. Your Christ-like personality with your winsome smile shall cause us to remember you warmly as a friend, as well as a co-worker. Precious lady, we in Missouri shall miss you as you step down from this important place of leadership. But as the door closes on this phase of your work for Christ, others will open. May these new experiences be very rewarding as you find new opportunities for service. May the Lord bless you as you continue to seek His will. Sincerely, Missouri WMU staff.
Now, Claude Ray is lifting the velvet from a beautiful array of state charms for Alma's gold bracelet. She can't wait to see them, but the rest of you have to. We want you to see them before you leave. There's one from each of the states. Now, I would like to ask you if you wouldn't like to...
I'd like to take a point of prayer.
All right. Let her look at it. And while she's looking at it, how about standing up for just a moment? All right, if you'll be seated. We got something else. You just tend to your own business. We have some other partners in this mission task and work which we undertake to do. And tonight, two of them are to speak on the value of Alma Hunt as we speak of our appreciation of her. First, the Executive Secretary of the Home Mission Board, Arthur B. Rutledge.
We of the Home Mission Board greatly value this fine lady and this devoted missionary leader. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity this evening to say before all of you and to Alma Hunt something of our appreciation for your leadership, Ms. Hunt, during these 25 years that have gone by, and we trust and pray that the year that lies ahead will be the crowning year of all this long and fruitful time of service. It's extremely significant that Woman's Missionary Union has never tried to mount a missionary program of its own. From the very beginning, through these past 25 years, Woman's Missionary Union has seen its role as that of helping our mission boards, state missions, home missions, foreign missions. They've never appointed missionaries. Not once in these past 10 years, since I've been in my present office, has Alma Hunt suggested anything about the way the Home Mission Board ought to carry on its work. But rather, this devoted lady has led the staff in Birmingham, WMU workers all across the convention, in undergirding the work of their Home Mission Board. And as I think of the work of WMU in supporting home missions, it falls into three readily identifiable areas, for they talk about these themselves. One of them is prayer for missions, and another is giving to missions, and another is study of missions. There's no way fully to value what is accomplished through prayer. But we here tonight, without any hesitation, know that prayer does make a difference. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. The prayer calendar, naming missionaries in the homeland as well as overseas, and calling upon women and all members of the family to pray for these missionaries, is extremely significant, Miss Hunt. And you hear, and I hear, missionaries at home as well as abroad speak of blessings that came to them on their birthday when so many thousands were remembering them. And then the week of prayer for home missions, though the offering is significant and receives great publicity, first of all, this is a week of prayer. And more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. And we're grateful to you, Alma Hunt, for your leadership of WMU throughout the convention for these 25 years, leading people to pray for missionaries by name and leading people to pray for mission needs to be met and to get involved in missions. But missionary giving, and here we can see numbers, and they're easy to evaluate. And I think those of us who are not continuously, closely observant of Woman's Missionary Union may hear so much about the special offerings that we lose sight of the fact that Woman's Missionary Union, in their literature, the people in their speeches, and Alma Hunt surely at this point, as well as others, magnifies our basic ongoing means of support, the cooperative program, as well as the special offering. Some remarkable things have happened during these past 25 years in giving. 25 years ago, the cooperative program, through the cooperative program, Southern Baptist provided their home mission board with just a little more than $1 million. This past year, it reached $6 million. And 25 years ago, through the Annie Armstrong offering, $636,000 were given. But in the year that closed just 11 days ago, the offering was 10 times greater, $6,884,000. And cooperative program and Annie Armstrong offering together have multiplied the financial support of your home mission board 8 times, with a total back there in 1948 of $600,000 plus $1 million, and today almost $7 million and another $6 million. So today, with year-by-year advances, with WMU promoting the financial support of missions, and with Alma Hunt leading, this remarkable progress has been made. And we value this, and we value you highly. Missionary education. I have in my hand here the testimony of two missionaries, one of whom was in the latest group of missionaries to be set apart publicly. They spoke about the influence of Woman's Missionary Union in leading them to accept, to hear first, and to accept a call of God to a missionary vocation. Gaynor Yancey, now the director of Weekday Ministries in inner city Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, gave this as a part of her testimony. I became involved very actively in the missions organization of our church through the Girls Auxiliary Organization, Sunday school, and church training programs of our church. I felt God was calling me. From that point on, all my decisions were made with the idea in mind that I would either be in missions or a church-related vocation. And then across the continent to Odessa, Texas, where Gloria Singleton, who joins her husband as director of Christian Social Ministries in Odessa, testified that it was during a GA camp in 1952 that she surrendered her life for mission work. She stated that 4 years earlier, her church had begun Girls Auxiliary. From its beginning, she was involved in GA, and she found missions to be the thing to which she must give her life. And GA was instrumental in leading her to this point. How many hundreds of home missionaries have had their strongest human influence toward a missionary calling come from a youth camp, from a GA organization? Only God knows, but they're in the hundreds. And we value this, and we say thank you to you, Alma Hunt, for your leadership during all of these years as the staff in Birmingham and WMU workers all across the nation have taught our young, have challenged our young, and they have offered themselves for missionary service. We look back across these years to 1948. These have been years of remarkable advance in home missions in the life of the Southern Baptist Convention. As Dr. Cooper said earlier, were it not for Woman's Missionary Union, everything your home mission board is able to do, you would have to slice just about in half. And maybe what remained would be even a little less than half. And we value this, and we treasure this. And we're delighted to have the opportunity tonight, I, as a representative of your home mission board, of these staff colleagues, of others who could not come tonight, of our directors, of the missionaries, to say thank you, Alma Hunt, for your devotion, for your fruitful labors, for what God has used you to do in furthering the cause of Christ in the homeland.
And our other partner, the Foreign Mission Board and its Executive Secretary, Baker James Cawthon, expressing appreciation for Alma Hunt.
Twenty-five years Alma Hunt has been Executive Secretary of Woman's Missionary Union. To some of us, it has been a relationship of comradeship. 20 years I've had the privilege of being a partner, standing in one place, and by day and by night, knowing that Alma Hunt and Woman's Missionary Union, that she so wonderfully has led, has demonstrated that quality of love and loyalty and undergirding that gives a feeling of reassurance. I am confident that many of you around these tables will fully understand what I'm saying. Nobody really can measure the load that men and women bear who stand in executive responsibility until they themselves stand there. There are eight There are 7 portraits outside my office, hanging in the car there, of men who've been former executive secretaries of the Foreign Mission Board. I'm number 8. There are loads that come in, very, very deep and heavy. I want to say to Alma Hunt tonight, and to all of you who represent Woman's Missionary Union, I simply have no capacity to tell you of the deep gratitude that I bear in my heart, and the other men whose portraits hang there bore in their hearts, for what Woman's Missionary Union as a body, and now in these 20 years, what Alma Hunt as a person has made known in the administration I've led, of this unfailing partnership, this unfailing friendship in what is being done. Do you know, never one time has Woman's Missionary Union ever felt that she ought to direct the program of foreign missions. Let me show you how much they demonstrated it. Years ago, they used to send a committee up to Richmond many, many years ago and say, let's sit down together and talk about what will be done with the money that comes through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. After a while, they said, that isn't necessary. You see about that. So year by year, we brought to your meeting in Birmingham itemized, detailed lists of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, what would be done with every single dollar of it. And we stood there before you, went over those lists, dollar by dollar, what was done. And Woman's Missionary Union voted her full agreement with what would be done. But the day came that the leadership said, that's not necessary. Just keep us informed, they said, of the blessings that are brought about by this. But we want the world to know that this responsibility rests absolutely upon the Foreign Mission Board, which is a convention's trusted board of directors in missions. They said, we want the world to know we don't even see that money. From the time it's given to the time it's disbursed on the mission fields, we never see it, we never touch it. It comes flowing in from the states and through the treasurers into the office of the executive committee and to the treasurer of the Foreign Mission Board. We never see it. And we don't want, either by action or by implication, to let anyone think that we direct what will be done with this outflow of liberality. Under the leadership of Miss Alma Hunt, we saw for the first time this wonderful offering called the Lottie Moon Christmas offering cross a line, a $1 million line. And then it burst with a great forward movement until this year, unless I miss my guess, the goal of $20 million will be exceeded. How can I ever express gratitude enough for the very things Dr. Rutledge so beautifully expressed, all of which were written down on my little note I had to say about what she had done and you have done in prayer and missionary education and the laying of life on the altar, until there runs like a refrain in the appointees who come to the Foreign Mission Board as they stand there and say, I heard about this in GA or in YWA, or I was teaching a mission study book and something happened in my heart. And over and over and over it comes again and again. But Alma Hunt not merely has led in the doing of it, you know, and I know she has led in the being of it. I've watched her go around the world. I've watched her go into country after country, and everywhere she goes, she's a missionary for Jesus Christ. For she could so easily slip out of her chair in Birmingham and yonder into any one of those mission fields in the world and just keep on moving with fellow missionaries. She has been a missionary. Her location has been Birmingham, Alabama. but the missionary is Alma Hunt. May I say a word of admiration? Alma doesn't know how many a time I have sat in meetings in Southern Baptist life and other places and watched this lady in action. And how many a time I've thought in my heart, what a wonderful thing that God laid hold upon a personality like this, with the kind of brain God gave her and the kind of response to the dedication of talent that she gave back to the Lord and the way God uses her. I have sat there over and over again in profound admiration, but not just of ability, of the qualities of dedication that you just see reflected from her. You know, the kind of people who really you love to cherish are those who make you feel a little nearer the Lord Jesus. That's what Alma does when you see her in action. For you see Alma Hunt, who's doing all she knows to do to put her feet in the footprints of Jesus Christ. Now may I close what I have to say with a word of confidence. Confidence about tomorrow. Confidence first about Woman's Missionary Union. My dear ladies, you are not in the ebb tide of your ministry and influence in Southern Baptist life. You are about to move into an ascendancy of influence. For this world of ours, in the days that lie ahead, needs everything that makes for absolute commitment to the Great Commission more than ever we've known since we became a people. And Woman's Missionary Union has a role ahead of her that is so great and so urgently necessary that in place of the ebb tide of your ministry and influence, tomorrow is like the dawning of a new day. How I thank God for you. And how, as I look ahead into the great responsibility that must rest upon us in a world task, I praise God for you. You're going to be there in the good days, and you're going to be there in the hard days. And you'll be there when the battles have to be fought, and you'll be there in the Gethsemanes. I have no doubt, as a missions executive secretary, where Woman's Missionary Union will be when the time comes that you've got to stand for what Jesus Christ wants, you will be the unfailing colleague. A word of confidence about foreign missions. Southern Baptists are not about to lose our directions. Southern Baptists are not about to become like a horse on a treadmill, going around and round and round and not knowing where our purpose really lies. For Southern Baptists, deep in the heart of the individual now has come to hear our Lord's wonderful word in the Great Commission sounding. I believe I go up and down this convention nearly as much as any other man among us. And from what I have observed and feel and know, I am assured that the heart of this convention is beating with a concern to reach out and do for all the world what Jesus Christ has told us to do. As for tomorrow, I believe in the great metropolitan church and the little suburban church or the church out in the mountains or that newly planted church. There is a deep determination that grows out of the hearts of individual people that says, we are going to reach out into all the world. A word of confidence about Alma Hunt. Alma, I've got a great feeling that, like Robert Browning put it, the best is yet to be. All this in heaven too. So there's going to be some wonderful things waiting for you. You're shifting out of where you've carried your heavy loads, but you're not shifting out of what the Lord Jesus will be telling you. Come on and do some more. I've already been talking to her a little bit. Now, Alma, lest I transgress on my time, I must stop. I didn't bring you tonight anything in my hands to present you. but I brought you an action from the Foreign Mission Board, in which the Foreign Mission Board, in our meeting on Tuesday, said, we hereby take action inviting Miss Alma Hunt to come to Richmond, Virginia on the 9th day of October, just when you have had 3 days to rest a bit. You come to Richmond, Virginia to be our honored guests, and let us tell you there in our own locale how much we thank you and how much we love you. God bless you every day.
Baker James, I don't believe you can beat that in Richmond, but you can try. Would you like to stand up while I introduce the next speaker? To appreciate is to recognize with gratitude. No one could do that quite so well as our big brother and our leader. And we even have to tell him which shoes to wear with which suit. And we love him devotedly. Porter Ruth, Executive Secretary of the Southern Baptist Convention Executive Committee.
Thank you, Marie and Alma. And Miss Mathis called me some time ago and told me about this dinner tonight and told me something about the subject. I immediately started a little bit of research, and I looked back to 1948 when Alma was elected. And I found the commission, Dr. Cawthon, ran a full-page picture of Alma Hunt with just the inscription on it, in the tradition of Lottie Moon. And the Religious Herald of Virginia picked that up a few days after it came out in the commission with the same title, in the tradition of Lottie Moon. And I noticed that some man wrote to the editor of the Religious Herald, Dr. Alley at that time, a couple of weeks later, and he said, you know, I appreciate your running the picture of Lottie Moon in the he said, really, she was a much more beautiful lady than I had imagined. And I asked Mr. Williams to look back and find out what had happened in the terms of Southern Baptist in these 25 years that Alma had been the secretary of WMU. And I found out that during that time, Dr. Rutledge, that Southern Baptist churches had given more than $80 million through the Annie Armstrong offering. And Dr. Cawthon, during that same period of time, Southern Baptist churches had given more, including this year, more than $260 million through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And George Bagley, I think we ought to recognize here that the women have also been interested in the cooperative program, because during that same time, Southern Baptists have given $1,329,000,000 through the cooperative program for our work around the world. So I thought this would be of interest. And so I started to work with this information, and I prepared a statement of gratitude. But I'm not going to read it tonight. I'm just going to give it to you. I don't mean I've got some intimate things. But early last week, I got a letter. You know, Dr. Bates gave a speech here a couple of years ago, and we get letters. I got one from Catherine Williamson, 606 North Purdy, Sumter, South Carolina, zip code 29150. And I read that, and I said, that's my speech. And I took it home and showed it to Ruth, and she said, you ought to have it framed and give it to Alma, because this is something that she'll want to keep. And so tonight, I want to read the letter we received just last week from Catherine Williamson. She said, dear Southern Baptist, my name is Catherine Williamson. I'm 13 years old and in the eighth grade. On November the 14th, 1973, I felt God's call to be a missionary. It wasn't until December the 2nd, 1973, that I made my call public in front of the church.
I didn't know at first for sure where God wants me to go, and I'm still not sure. But I think that he wants me to go to Hong Kong. Like I say, I'm not sure. But I do believe that it is in the school teaching line of work. I talked to my preacher, Mr. Craig, about my calling. He suggested I write to you and ask you for some material about Hong Kong and also about the countries which surround it. Now that I've told you about my calling, I'd like to tell you about my church. I've got a great church with a great preacher and family. My church has many organizations. My ACT teens I enjoy very much. And my ACT teens leader had a lot to do with my calling. I forgot to tell you, but I go to Northside Baptist Church. If there are any more questions before you want to send me the information, please feel free to write and ask me. I don't know who is going to read my letter, but whoever does, I hope that you will pray, please, for me. Sincerely yours, Catherine Williamson. P.S. Have a happy new year and many to come. Alma, this is what it's all about. It's about preachers and churches and calls to God's work, and about little girls who somehow get a vision. And you know, I hope in 15 years when Ruth and I come here and we meet when we have the 100th anniversary of Women's Missionary Union, and it's going to be greater, Dr. Calton, than it is now, that you're going to sort of, you won't be hobbling then, I hope I'll you're going to come up and say, did you, and I hope this, did you read in the commission about Kathy Williamson? And I'll say, huh? No, I'll say, yes, wasn't it wonderful? And you know, the future, that's where it all is, with God's help and what you have done in the past.
Now we come a little closer and get a little more personal. As we think of showing our appreciation, we must judge with heightened perception this woman. It seems strange that Botticelli, who lived from 1445 to 1510, should have given to the world some of the loveliest images of woman. Botticelli was a bachelor. Do you know that, Alma? And his favorite joke was that once he had a nightmare and he dreamed he was married. Milton wrote, "Woman, woman, grace was in all her steps, heaven in her eye, in every gesture, dignity and love." As we move a little closer in this personal way, Mrs. Ellis Casaza of Washington, D.C., Letha, former president of Women's Missionary Union of the district and the vice president of Women's Missionary Union, longtime friend, president of the North American Baptist Women's Union, treasurer of the Women's Department, knows a lot about women. You know, she's the only woman in the Southern Baptist Convention that's ever served as president of a state convention. That was last year. May her tribe increase. And Letha is going to speak to us for a few moments now with heightened perception as we talk about our appreciation of Alma Hunt.
I hope you all realize that you've been listening for an hour to speeches about Alma, and what I could dream up to say, I'm not sure. No, actually, as we think tonight about the occasion that we're here for, this is not a sorrowful occasion. We're celebrating because we're honoring a woman who has honored us for her 25 years of service, with Southern WMU, with the Southern Baptist Convention, with the BWA, in all of the many contacts. There is no way that we could evaluate Alma Hunt's contribution. But we're coming to think for a few minutes about what has happened. It was in 1948 that Woman's Missionary Union was celebrating its 60th anniversary. And Miss Kathleen Mowry decided that she should resign from Woman's Missionary Union. As she gave that word to the executive board, her reason was, as she said, "I feel that it is appropriate for me to pass on to my successor the high privilege of leading the union into a new era." How well she understood some of the things that were about to happen. Would you believe they had a survey committee? And that they had been studying the union, and they had been looking at its program and at its structure. Now, if you think we've come up with anything new in the last 25 years, you're wrong. Because they had been studying Woman's Missionary Union and had decided that there needed to be some real changes made. And Miss Mowry, with all of her insight, realized that after all of the years of her service, a new hand should be put to the task. So that it was her decision that a new woman should come into that place. And I've wondered, how did they choose Alma Hunt? What led them to that young woman who was out there in Missouri? I'm not sure what it was, but I've got some ideas about what should have been the reasons back of their decision. One of the clues that I have found was written by Miss Hunt herself in a book which she wrote a few years ago, a little book called Woman's Missionary Union, which was to be a kind of a little book of information for the Southern Baptist Convention, for Woman's Missionary Union, for anyone interested in finding out what this organization was all about. And in talking about Woman's Missionary Union, this was her statement at the close of that little book. "Woman's Missionary Union offers women the opportunities to channel the first fruits of their God-given talents into His mission of reconciliation." Now, right there, you see, it seems to me, was the motivating force behind Alma Hunt. She was a young woman who recognized that there was a woman's organization which could make use of her talents, that there was a way in which she could be useful in this mission of reconciliation, helping bring people to a knowledge of her Savior and in the establishment of His kingdom around the world. What were some of the qualities she brought to Woman's Missionary Union? Well, one of them, I have called her Virginia traditionalism, because she was a Virginia gentlewoman. Now, this meant that she loved history, that she loved what had gone before in the unfolding of God's will for the women of the Southern Baptist Convention, that she had admired and had revered the leaders of Woman's Missionary Union, that she was strongly influenced in her own personal life and in the decisions she made about her life by the things which she found important from her historical background. Now, sometimes this traditionalism gives some of us a little problem. I had to confess to Helen Fling last summer that I left all my pantsuits packed in the bottom of my suitcase when I was traveling with Alma. My husband likes them all right, but Alma doesn't. And yet, do you realize what a quality this is that she has brought to us? Being able to look back and to understand what has gone on and to admire those who have gone before us and to build upon what they gave us. Now, there was a balance wheel. Not only did she have this traditionalism and this love for what had gone before, but she has a freshness of approach. She has the ability to look ahead and to understand that sometimes change is necessary, that it can bring real good to the work, that it can be a good influence for the women who are doing the work, that change is necessary. So that in this unusual coupling in her life of her conviction about the worth of what has gone before and her earnest desire to look forward always and to build with something new, this she brought to Woman's Missionary Union. Now, what of her talents? Now, we could go on all night. Many of you have mentioned many of the characteristics and the traits which have endeared this woman to us. I'm going to mention a few of her God-given talents which she has channeled into this mission. The first thing which I think we must recognize is that Alma has a very deep spiritual perception. She is a woman who understands the necessity to go outside oneself to find the strength and the wisdom and the courage to do what must be done. Therefore, her prayer life is not a superficial one. I can remember, and it's happened several years ago, one of the few times I saw her really indignant in recounting an experience that she had had. And she was telling some of us, she says, you know, I went to a prayer meeting. And she said, I got there a little late and I realized that the program had already started. And here was the leader of the prayer meeting and she was going on and we tended to everything. And then the poor woman discovered that the time was up and she looked back and saw me sitting there and realized, well, you know, we've got to pray. And so she says, will Alma Hunt please lead us in a brief prayer? Alma was concerned that any one of us could feel this way about what she considers the firm basis of our strength. I will have to tell you what she said. She said, I prayed for every missionary whose name I could remember. I prayed for every mission field that I could recount. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. Then I think we must recognize her complete intellectual honesty. I'm glad that we don't have to say tonight what she recounted in the Woman's Missionary Union history, which she wrote about Ms. James when she became the president, that they said she had the mind of a man and the emotions of a woman. I'm telling you, she's got the mind of a good woman. We respect her intellectual honesty. I was interested that Dr. Hargroves mentioned integrity. For we have seen Alma at times in different kinds of meetings in the Baptist Joint Committee. She is concerned about the integrity of the stand of Baptists. In the BWA meetings, in the study commissions, she's concerned that we never waver from a principle which is important. In Woman's Missionary Union, there have been times when it was necessary for, you know, some discussion to take place. there was not complete harmony on certain topics. But I was always sure that whether Alma turned out to be on the winning side or on the losing side, that she would be inflexible if she felt that there was a principle involved that she could not, with integrity, desert. Now, this is important to me, and it has been important to Woman's Missionary Union and all of her other contacts through these years, that we could count on this woman to mean what she said and to say what she meant. Then Alma has one of the most unusual capacities for loving and appreciating people of any individual I've ever known. This means, how many times did you hear women talk about the Friday letter? Of course, for her WMU family, this means the way of keeping in touch. And those of us who've been off of the board for a while never felt more lost than for the first few months after we didn't get those letters. Because we really did feel a family because of her interest and concern and the hours she put into that letter. But I'm not talking about just her concern for her WMU family. It meant that as she went out and traveled in the mission fields, that every missionary, every worker, every person she met was an individual. She has never been guilty of that thing which sometimes, you know, they make a blurb about. Oh, well, I love the world, but I hate people. Because she loved people, and they were individuals and persons to her, not just something vague that she could write a speech about.